196.
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Home Forward to provide asset management and development consulting services for Portland Housing Bureau-owned properties to satisfy the housing bond production goal.
Colleagues, prior to the passage of the housing bond, the Portland Housing Bureau has primarily been a funder of affordable housing and not an owner or developer. In order to meet the bond's production goals efficiently and effectively, I directed the Housing Bureau to work with our partners and utilize existing capacity rather than duplicating our efforts. Home Forward is a trusted partner of the City of Portland and an integral part of the city's housing programs. In addition, as an Oregon public entity, Home Forward is subject to the Oregon Public Contracting Code, so they're particularly qualified to issue solicitations on behalf of the Portland Housing Bureau. Collaborating with Home Forward to develop and manage housing created under the bond creates time and cost efficiencies. This allows the Portland Housing Bureau to leverage Home Forward's current resources and capacity to reach the bond framework goals quickly and effectively. Home Forward has proven expertise in procurement subject to Oregon Public Contracting Code, long-term asset management experience, and development of affordable housing for the most vulnerable populations in Portland. This allows for immediate management oversight and coordination of the current bond properties, as well as pre-development design work on the Southeast 30th and Powell development. This partnership brings the benefit of both agencies' best practices to the bond framework by creating low-barrier, sustainable, and affordable housing for Portlanders. Beyond that, we're showing how good government and partnership can enhance the work that we're all doing on these critical housing issues. By taking meaningful steps to make our housing bond an example in partnership with Home Forward, we're also supporting the efforts at the state pushing a constitutional amendment that will give us greater flexibility to continue to stretch our housing dollars further. The constitutional amendment is a key piece of my strategy for also supporting the regional housing bond, because affordability is not an issue that's unique to Portland alone. As a region, we can demonstrate through Portland's housing bond that government can be responsive and responsible. This is ultimately why I support the constitutional amendment and have been fighting for it on behalf of my regional colleagues. That's why I've pushed the Housing Bureau to do more, faster, and better on behalf of all Portlanders. And I'm grateful that I can count on Home Forward to be right there with me and with this City Council. I want to thank both Home Forward and the Housing Bureau for taking up my challenge and collaborating to get this work done. I'd like to invite the Interim Director for the Portland Housing Bureau, Shannon Callahan, and Executive Director of Home Forward, Michael Buonocore. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner Shannon
good
Callahan
morning.
From the Portland Housing Bureau. Last year, the Housing Bureau and community members completed an extensive framework for the implementation of Portland's housing bond. Those guidelines have led us to the partnership you have before you today. Before we talk about the specifics of this intergovernmental agreement, I wanted to share with you the broad outline of some of our bond goals as a reminder. The Portland Housing Bond is Oregon's first voter-approved measure for affordable housing. It's a $258 million bond authorization. It will add at least 1,300 new affordable homes, 600 of which will be deeply affordable. Deeply affordable to us means a family that's making 30% or less than median family income. For instance, a family of two would be making less than $20,000 a year to qualify for a deeply affordable unit under the housing bond. 300 units will be set aside for individuals and families that require supportive housing, and 650 units will be sized for families. I wanted to also give you a little update on the progress that we have under the affordable housing bond. To date, we've acquired the Ellington apartment complex, converting 263 apartments into permanent housing. We have purchased a site at Southeast 30th and Powell for the development of an estimated 200 new units. And this morning, we're also announcing that we have entered into agreement for the purchase of a property in Cully for a new development for at least 75 units of affordable housing. You will also see on the map in front of you the Cully property and then two other properties we're in active negotiations with in East Portland. Active negotiations means for us that we've entered into letters of intent after receiving approval from our internal and external advisory panel, which consists of two bond oversight committee members on a rotating basis. To successfully meet our timelines for development and to ensure that these buildings are operated consistent with our community values in a manner best suited for our tenants' success, we've sought out this partnership with Home Forward. In practice, I've tried to outline how this would look. Hopefully it will make sense to you. It made sense to me. I was trying to create a house, but it didn't quite come out the way it intended. So in practice, we will use our framework and the policies developed with our community and our bond oversight committee for the foundation of all of this work. And then when needed, as for example on the 30th and Powell site, we will jointly work with Home Forward, who as the mayor mentioned, is uniquely situated to help us both with public contracting and procurement and has a deep expertise in affordable housing development. Then once we develop the building, have a building, Home Forward will step in with professional asset management services. Home Forward performs this function for over 6,000 existing units of affordable housing and will bring their expertise and commitment to resident success to help us provide for the long-term health of both the bond assets and for the tenants who reside in our buildings.
Shannon, before you move off that slide, could you briefly explain the difference between asset management and property management in this example?
So a property manager is a day-to-day on-site partner at the housing complex. And so they take rents, help with minor repairs, generally keep the overall health of the building kind of going, range for landscaping. I mean, it's a little more complex than that. Asset management is really a function that interplays with making sure that we are doing the right kinds of accounting. They check with over the property manager. They act kind of as an oversight for that property management relationship. And they make sure that we are planning for the large-scale needs of rehab, as well as, you know, in this case, Home Forward will also serve as a point of contact, as will the city, for tenants that may have issues on the ground with their property managers. I am sure that our asset management team or Michael could give you a bigger explanation of the work, but that's kind of a high-level overview. And they would also help us plan for resident services. It's not something that we have undertaken in the past. We do not have any resident services yet at the Ellington, but as we increase the number of families that are coming into the building, including those with supportive services, we need to make sure that we have a balanced amount of services for those residents. And that's an expertise that, quite frankly, the Housing Bureau does not have, but Home Forward does.
So I know I'm greatly oversimplifying this because I'm going to dumb it down even well below the good answer that you just gave. But would it be fair to say that property management is the day-to-day operations and addressing tenant needs and keeping the building clean and functional, whereas asset management is really focused on the property itself and its long-term viability? Is that oversimplifying it to a ridiculous degree, or is that really how those two pots are separated?
It's not ridiculous. No, that is appropriately simplified, and one also applies the discipline at a portfolio level. So we are looking at individual properties, but also looking at the overall health of.
Okay, that's helpful. So, Commissioner Fish,
Shannon, I'm trying to get my arms around something here that is a marked departure from our normal practice. So let me just talk it through and then make sure I understand it. So, with respect to Home Forward properties, they are generally owned by Home Forward, who in turn has a property management company that helps them. Complaints from tenants generally go to Home Forward to be resolved if they can't be resolved internally. And sometimes those complaints come to us because we're the appointing body. So that's one category. Another model is how we finance affordable housing development, where we put public resources in, but the nonprofit developer, sometimes for-profit, but mostly nonprofit developer, has an asset management, property management agreement. So complaints from tenants go to the nonprofit. They resolve them unless someone comes here and testifies about a nonprofit that they have a problem with. So currently, we're sort of one step removed from that process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're now the owner.
Yes.
And I think the city only has two affordable housing developments under City Lights where we're the owner. So now we're the owner, and we're delegating to Home Forward this function of asset management. And they, in turn, will put a property manager in, and tenant complaints will then be dealt with by Home Forward. But what's different here is that we're the ultimately responsible party because it's our building. So how do you intend to address that change in accountability and also to avoid the city being sort of the logical bypass place to come with a complaint rather than having it addressed at the appropriate level within Home Forward?
Commissioner, if I can back up just a little bit. You know, right now the Housing Bureau does not have these functions in-house. So we would literally be looking to create and staff up on asset management and learn on the job as we've been doing. And so Home Forward is really stepping in for us, at least on an agreed basis for a 42-month period of time, to allow us to professionally manage these buildings in a way
that I get for
the benefit of the tenants.
Yeah.
People, you know, I look at it very, having worked in the commissioner's office and having taken calls and issues from both folks who live in Home Forward properties and regulated housing, Home Forward will be the primary contact because I think they understand the relationships and what needs to happen with property management, but it does not prevent an individual or an individual tenant from talking to the city. I think it's actually an added layer of accountability.
Right, well,
not
we're the owner.
But
we're the owner,
here.
And we've contracted with Home Forward. So who at the Housing Bureau would feel that call if there was a complaint that went through Home Forward and then came to us?
Well, presently, right now, it's myself or Javier Mena, the assistant director, but we are looking to bring on a new position that would help us with not only what we're doing under the bond, but other property management of buildings that are not occupied or properties that are not occupied. So, for instance, we own the Joyce Hotel. It's not occupied presently, but we would have someone who's helping us with insurance and other issues. So we will have a point of contact.
Yeah, when you have that point of contact, would you let us know? Because I think what we want to avoid is having five council offices freelancing with someone that has a complaint. It should go somewhere where someone can pick up the phone, call Home Forward, get to the bottom of it, and either solve the problem or kick it to somewhere else.
We will do that. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Commissioner Daly, did you have a question? Very good.
So just briefly, I have just a couple more things before I turn it over to Michael. I just wanted to make sure that, that this relationship does meet key framework goals identified with our community process of both seeking partnerships and streamlining development, making sure we had sustainable financial viability of our assets and successful management of the building for the tenants. Before we've brought this to you today, I also wanted to let you know that we have worked with a variety of community partners on the development of this IGA, including our bond oversight committee, who did an in-depth review of this entire agreement at a meeting 2 weeks ago and gave their blessing to bring it forward to you. And also we've been working with Housing Oregon's public Portland Policy Council over the last few months, letting them know about how this partnership would shape out and making sure that we all understood what this meant for the future of the bond. And before I turn it over to Michael, I'd like to just really truly thank Home Forward. They have been a partner with us since the inception of the bond. They committed to very early on the support for 400 of the deeply affordable units before we went to the ballot. And quite frankly, their team has been supporting us at every step of the way as we buy, acquire, and address tenant issues. So thank you.
Director, one other question.
Sure.
If you were to issue an RFP with a lot of bundled money. The normal course would be that once you've gone through your due diligence process and selected projects, you come to council for approval.
Yes.
Before you move forward.
Yes.
What's the equivalent piece here?
We will be following the same process. So,
at what stage?
At acquisition, you will see the property. As I just mentioned this morning, we have a property in Cully that we have entered a purchase and sale agreement.
That has to come to us before it's acquired.
You will approve the sale.
Okay.
When we create the development plan, for instance, we don't have a fully fleshed out development plan for Southeast 30th and Powell. Our first stop is our bond oversight committee to help us plan for the amount of units, making sure that we're reaching our goal overall, what's the blend of permanent supportive housing we're looking at, and then the next step would be you before we move forward on a development of many other steps between there, neighborhood, community. I don't want to shorten the process. But before we move forward on an actual development, it would come to this council for
approval.
Thank you.
Good. Michael?
Well, good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Councilor, Commissioners. Thank you for having me. Before I offer my prepared comments, I just want to let you know that my very talented Director of Asset Management, Molly Rogers, almost came out of her chair at the question of the distinction between asset and property management, and would be happy to provide a primer to anyone who would like to go a little deeper on that. So I just this morning want to affirm our commitment to the success of the bond and our partnership with Shannon and the team at Portland Housing Bureau. Shannon and I meet weekly. Our teams meet in a variety of configurations, more than weekly, and we are all linked and pointed at the same goal, which is to build a system between our agencies that ensure we deliver for the public. That means getting housing built and acquired that meets a host of goals in the immediate term, from bedroom sizes to geography to population priorities, and making sure that we have our eye on the long-term horizon so they remain affordable housing assets in the community for decades. We live and breathe that work at Home Forward, and it's hard, and we bring the benefit of many hard-won lessons from over 75 years of doing that, and so we thank you for your trust in us to help you do this work. And I know I don't need to tell anyone on this council that the housing crisis that we are facing is the result of decades of massive federal disinvestment in affordable housing, but it bears being said publicly as often as possible. We continue to struggle with the perception that the crisis of housing and homelessness reflects some kind of local failure. And it is true that we need more done locally, and part of the reason it's important to deliver successfully on this bond is because we need public confidence and support for a regional housing bond, for a dedicated revenue source to fund services for supportive housing, and more. But we also need our community and the country to recognize this crisis has been caused by the federal government's failure to provide the resources that we need, and just because they have done so for so long doesn't mean we should accept that it will always be true. We have to demand sustained, appropriate federal funding for subsidized housing and vouchers, and we have to hold the conviction that making sure everyone has a safe place to live is a choice that we can make in this country. It's a big day for housing at council. You must have days when it feels like it's never enough. Getting it right matters, staying in the fight matters, and we are here to support you every step of the way. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish?
Well, Michael, I wish we could take those words and frame them somewhere. That was a very eloquent statement. And today's Los Angeles Times has an editorial documenting the federal government's failure to follow through on multiple commitments around dealing with mental health crisis. We went from a policy of not wanting to institutionalize people to a policy of wanting to have community-based facilities to a policy of repealing everything that we committed to, so there was no policy. Mm-hmm. I was at a forum last night where a good number of people blame the city for the housing crisis, and I thought, this is Newt Gingrich's vision. Mm-hmm. Starve the beast at the federal level, kick it to the local level, and have us fight among ourselves when we don't have the resources. I do want to ask you one question, though. The president's proposed budget targets most of the people that we all care about on your and where you sit and where we sit.
That's right.
but one of his budget cuts seemed particularly harsh, and that was zeroing out funding for capital maintenance and public housing. As a practical matter, what would that mean for Home Forward?
That would be bad. I think about the president's budget in a couple of ways. It's really important for us to speak out about how cruel the impacts would be of that budget. And we need leaders such as yourselves and, you know, political leadership at every level voicing that how destructive that budget would be. And it's also important for us to reassure our community who reads the news as well and worries that they may be losing their housing assistance. And I think the reality is we have enough champions that I want the community who receives our assistance to feel relatively assured that we believe we'll be able to keep them stable and safe. And we believe that the president's budget is a non-starter. If it were brought to life, it would be incredibly damaging for the community.
Thank you.
Well said. And does that end your presentation, Shannon? Very good. Is there a public testimony on this item?
No one signed up. Oh.
Great. Thank you for your presentations.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Justice Watchdog. Again, on that, making the amendment on the Constitution pertaining to the bond use, again, that will also, as you know, will have an effect on the city bond and if they can pass the metro bond, which will also alter the amount of units that can be created from the private to the public partnerships. It's going to have a tremendous change in the direction that this can go pertaining to the city bond itself. So if that does pass, that'll make a big difference on the overall units. Now, issue number two is that I want to see on the bond again is to build new units. I want to see new units created. I want to see the property tax base expanded. I want to see more supply of units out in the marketplace. I want to see jobs created in the communities. I want to see in the local communities materials being bought to stimulus the local business areas in the communities. So I want to see everything built new. I do not want to see seasoned apartments being purchased. I think what happens when you do that as the government is that you basically create a situation where you will drive up unit prices in the marketplace. You will compete against the private sector, and they will only have to look at their rents, and they will probably increase their rents across the board. It's a very bad move to be buying existing units and not expanding the current number of units in the marketplace. I absolutely disagree with that. Now, again, on Home Forward, I don't have any issues with Home Forward. It's my understanding they are a government entity, if I'm correct. Again, it's my understanding on this situation that they will possibly have ownership of some of these properties if the amendment goes through on the Constitution, which would allow them to do that. Again, my understanding on this property management agreement, it goes for 42 months with a one-year extension. And then you go back to the development agreement, which is a six-month with a three-month possible extension. Now, on the development agreement itself, I understand Home Forward will be getting a percentage of any project being built. My understanding on the development fee will be 5% on the management fee overall. On the project will be 10%. Again, I don't have any issue with Home Forward making that money. My position is that I just want to have an understanding. Will they end up acquiring any of these properties, or will this continue on the bond to be all city owned? Thank you.
Very good. And let me just reflect on one comment that you made with regard to purchasing existing housing. I think you made a good argument. I understand your argument, but we're already in competition with the private sector. There's competition for all of the real estate. There is not a lot of land out there. When we can do a land play, we certainly do it. We build from scratch. But the goal when we have housing that's existing is to preserve it as affordable housing. And so housing that may be lower, I'm using this as a pejorative, but lower income housing today, there's no reason why a developer couldn't come in there, do a complete reconstruction of that, evict everybody, and then have it be much higher cost housing. So our objective, and we do weigh the relative cost and benefits, but our objective there is to really preserve what is there as affordable housing permanently. But I see your larger point.
If I may add to that,
yes,
is
sir.
That the problem that I have in buying existing units is that as the government, local investors, when they see the government coming in on a property, they tend to back up a little bit because normally that government, the government can come in and push that price up higher. So the private investor kind of shies away. And when that happens, you're beginning to get investment dollars that could have gone into the city. The city itself could be building new, expanding more inventory. What they do with that money now, they take it somewhere else. And when you begin to move their money possibly somewhere else, it can end up leaving the state. And that's going to be a big disaster, in my opinion. It will drive up unit prices, won't expand the property tax base, and in my opinion, the investors will come back and have to begin raising their rents possibly. It's not the way we want to go. We want to have more units created, more supply, more jobs created, and keep the money in the local economy.
Mayor,
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Mayor, I just want to make one observation. There are circumstances where our ability to acquire an existing development prevents mass displacement. And I think the missing piece here is that out of state REITs are coming in, buying up these properties for investment purposes, doing modest improvements, jacking up the rents, and evicting everybody. So, I mean, in terms of maintaining neighborhood stability, I can't think of a more important goal for our spending.
Yeah, and as you know, Commissioner Fish, I agree with you completely on that point. Any further comments? Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, I think Michael Bonica's statement, getting it right matters and staying in the fight matters. That's all about what we're doing here. And I don't think we've let the perfect be the enemy of the good in any of this stuff. And still, the challenge has been staying in the fight. And I know that everybody on the council is committed to doing that, despite or not because of the fact that people keep coming and telling us to. We don't need anybody to tell us to. It's very obvious that we all need to do more, not just the council, but everybody in our community needs to be addressing this problem. I also appreciate the fact that it was pointed out yet again that it is the federal government's responsibility and that people can move here. People become homeless here or are at danger of losing their housing because of factors that are beyond the control of the city council. And I believe we all need to accept that it's not just the politicians who are making the decisions that result in this huge need or the way to fix it. So thank you very much for everybody who's willing to stay in the fight for as long as it takes. Aye.
Fish.
I can't think of a better partner than Home Forward, so I enthusiastically support this. The city of Los Angeles has embarked on a multi-billion-dollar campaign to address homelessness, and the most recent numbers are completely discouraging. They've had a spike in homelessness because this problem is not just about housing. It's about poverty. It's about mental health. It's about addiction. It's about a whole host of things. We cannot solve this problem alone. The president's budget, which would result in a 20% cut to HUD, and eliminate all the tools that we use for affordable housing development, HOME, CDBG, and other things. Does that, however, have money made available for the HUD, the gentleman who's in charge of HUD, secretary, and he has proposed opening facilities in distressed neighborhoods in the country where he would teach low-income people character. And I think we need a little less character building and a little more investment in affordable housing if we're going to solve this crisis. I cannot believe George Orwell would be turning in his grave if he was listening to this discussion. I appreciate the discussion and the partnership. Aye.
You Daly.
Well, thank you to the Housing Bureau and to Home Forward. And you're right, Michael, it never feels like enough. But today we are making a couple small, vital advances. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I'm going to build on Commissioner Fish's commentary. I'd be turning in my grave if I were dead. I'm not, fortunately. It is correct what has been said, that we have limited tools here at the local level, and we have to use them as wisely as we can. And we obviously were given this housing bond by the voters in this community, and we're exercising great diligence in terms of how we deliver on the promises around that housing bond. And I'm glad to see that we're continuing to move forward thoughtfully and responsibly in terms of how we deploy those resources. I mentioned the constitutional amendment up front. That's a little bit arcane, but it's very important in terms of getting the dollars to go as far as they can by partnering both with nonprofits and private sector partners. And that's not only important to the city of Portland and the metro region, that is a statewide issue, and I hope everybody will continue to support that. Good work on this. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you.